Hey, Fabi.
What's happening?
You know how there's so much going on right now everywhere?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, of course.
So I really don't think we should be adding sexual and reproductive health to your, you know, to your care list right now. But guess what, Mimi? Planned Parenthood is here for you to ease your mind and give you the care you need with Planned Parenthood telehealth services.
And you know what? Planned Parenthood has been there for me in the past, and they're here for you too, wherever you are. Because they know care can't wait. Not now, not ever. Their telehealth services provide birth control information and care, STI testing and treatment, emergency contraception, and more.
Get care, ease your mind, and save a trip. Planned Parenthood telehealth makes it easy to reach an expert in your area by phone or video.
Set up a telehealth appointment with a Planned Parenthood medical professional by phone or video today. Go to PlannedParenthood.org/telehealth. The website, once again, is PlannedParenthood.org/telehealth. I could have said contraception. Oh my God. Okay, wait. That's PlannedParenthood.org/telehealth.
Así o más sencillo.
Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Ay, que feo caso. Hello.
Que show.
How are you, Babelito?
I'm good. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little off. My sobrina is getting her appendice taken out. It's very common. It's no big deal, but I'm still like,
oh my gosh, but she's so little. And it's scary to be in the hospitals right now, girl.
It's only my sister and her. Like, they don't let the dad come in. Y su papá es tan sentimentalista, güey. He's been crying.
Aww.
So the best vibes to all of them. Yeah. But it's all good. It's all going to be fine. So
recenter. Oh my gosh. I hope she gets better. Yes. Everybody send positive thoughts to Babelito's niece.
Yes. But everything's good. Just drinking some coffee.
Girl, this is... Speaking of the hospital, okay, not to make light of this, but, you know, that's what I do. This is something that I've been telling my family. Porque nos están cuidando, okay? We're recording... Let me just tell you, we're recording this on June 17th.
Yes.
So, a lot ahead of time. But even now, I'm sure right now we're in the middle of the thick of the second wave here in Las Vegas. I'm just going to do a prediction, Walter Mercado style, baby. Because guess what, Mimi? My fucking family, this past weekend, they had a pool party. And okay, great, it's safer to be outside. Okay, pero todos abrazándose, like to take a selfie, to take pictures. Like, okay, have outdoor get-togethers, but please, wear masks, please, social distance. I'm not going to any family get-togethers anymore. It stresses me out. And this is what I've been trying to tell them. It's like, in my past, family members, you know, when somebody gets sick in my family, my Guatemalan or my Mexican family, it's a fucking carne asada at the hospital. Everybody fucking shows up. Le traen una torta, una birria, you know, like, you know, the food at the hospital is trash. If you get COVID and you have to go to the hospital, you can't have a carne asada at the hospital, girl. Literally one person is allowed to enter with you. So please, because people, I keep hearing people say, pues, si me enfermo, you know, solo Dios sabe. I'm like,
cuando
okay.
Cuando me toca, me toca.
I'm like, well, you're going to, first of all, it's going to be very painful if you get sick with that, and if you get past, you know, if you get into critical condition, it's going to be awful. And guess what? You're going to be there without any fucking family. So think about that, you know, like, come on, come on. I don't know what I have to say now. People are still pretending nothing's going on. And you know what? I don't know. I just have to keep talking about it, I guess. I don't know.
Girl, but we went to the north side where all the white peoples are. I went to, we've been making sourdough, of course. And shout out to all my students because, let me tell you, they wrote letters of support. Because
you're making them make sourdough for you?
Stupid. No, because they all wrote letters of support for my contract. And I went through them the other day I was fucking bawling. They were beautiful. Oh, and I'm super, 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 super appreciative of all of you. Thank you. I love you all. We've been baking, so I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go deliver some, and you know, my way to say thank you. So we went to the north side. Es como si no hubiera pasado nada con esos pinches gringos, man. Like, it was like fucking gay pride. It was just like everybody was out and about, holding hands, no mask. There was a food, like a street food festival with hundreds of people in the streets. We passed by it, and both my husband and I were like, like, that was our immediate reaction. Like, ay, just driving around that area gave us so much fucking anxiety. People don't give a fuck. El privilegio es tan real, cabrón, que les vale madre. They think they're untouchable, that nothing's gonna happen. Pero el pedo es que it's not about you. It's about everybody else who you're gonna fucking contagiar. It's so scary. But anyway, we survived.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get out of the car. I was just leaving bread in the door and like, bye. Because, you know, I need to keep my distance. Ay, no, qué desorden.
Please put a fucking mask on, okay? Just that's the minimum you can do. If you're going to be in public, put a fucking mask on. And I know, even if it's performative, okay, like the TSA, it still makes you feel safer and it still keeps people aware of, like, looking out for danger. So even if you know you're not contagious, whatever, you don't know, we don't know anything, but even if you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go into the store and just try to stay 6 feet away from people, you need to have that visual of the mask to let people know, like, hey, I care about myself, I care about you, I care about what's happening in the world. That's what that means,
right?
Okay, it's not there to fucking oppress you. If you think putting on a fucking mask is oppression, bitch, you're lucky. You ain't never faced nothing in your goddamn motherfucking life.
Right.
Let me just say that.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh. Mínimo. Pongas una pinche máscara. Oh my God. So, anyway, I feel like we need to get right into these listener letters, girl, because we always say we're going to try to get through them and we answer one. So
a whole episode dedicated to one letter. Shout out to my students.
I know the last listener letter was one of your students. So, but maybe let's try to read two this episode. Okay.
What a concept.
Let's make that a goal. Let's take a little break and then we'll be right back. OMG, Babalito. What have you been doing on your time off?
Pues fíjate nada más que aparte de cocinar, I've been very creative with my time. I've been coloring my Latinos Who Lunch ABCs of Latinidad coloring book.
Oh my God, the coloring book designed in collaboration with Giovanni Uranda. Shout out to you, Gio. We worked on it very hard. Well, he did most of the time. We just met a few times, but Gio worked on it very hard for over a year here and there when he had time. And it's just full of really amazing illustrations based on episode 99 and 100, actually, of Latinos Who Lunch. So if you haven't checked it out and if you want to buy one, you can still get them. It's only limited prints, guys, because it's a lot of work to mail these out to y'all. And so, and also, this is like a lot of disclaimers, but the Postal Service is taking forever, forever, forever right now. So if you have somebody's birthday coming up like in a couple days, it's probably not going to get to y'all, because I'm trying to not price the books so high so that they're more affordable. So I'm using media mail, which can take up to like 2 weeks to get to you, okay? Just so that postage isn't as expensive. So anyway, order online con tiempo, but just so you know, there's only about 500 left, and then that's it. Wepa, wepa. I'm not going to... I can't do this anymore.
just think of this coloring books like
limited edition. That's
yes,
it.
Yes, like you have to get more than one copy. Madalena, shout out to you, Maddie. She sent me a picture of little Hugo coloring the Barroquismo page. So you have to get one for your kids to fuck up and one for the collection and another one for knitting patterns, because we're going to be inside for a while more and you need something to do with your time.
Yes. All right. So you can go to latinoswholunch.com/coloringbook and get it there. Okay, we're back. Wow, what a smooth commercial. Okay, so let's get into these listener letters. Do you want to read it or should I?
Tú empieza.
Okay, this is from Juliet. From an artist to another artist about an artist.
Sácate las babuchas.
We getting a poem this time, girl. Okay, it says, hello, queens. My name is Juliet, and I am a Mexicana queer data analyst in California working for a nonprofit organization helping children. I love all things art, and I adore you both so much. Listening to LWO every day, so you're pretty much my best friends. The reasons for my email is because I've recently seen a post on Instagram that really got under my skin. An artist who creates Lego people versions of characters in shows and other things he likes recently created the cast of a new show on Netflix called The Circle. Have you seen The Circle, Babs?
Nope.
Oh, girl, you gotta watch it. It's fun. Okay, I like the show and follow some of the cast, so I happen to see his Lego people in a shared post. Why would I be offended? Well, he yellow washed all the characters. Other creations are true to color and others are not. I have no idea how he decides who is yellow and who is true to skin color.
Hijo de su madre.
But the fact that he makes a decision to unicolor certain people didn't sit well with me. I left a comment asking why everyone was the same color, and he basically replied he was sticking to the original Lego color of yellow. He then went on to private message me saying he is a cis white gay man who advocates for diversity. Mm-hmm, they all do. And also is a feminist, etc.
Ay, todos de volada.
Sounding the part, but his actions to me did not match. Yes, he apologized and said he would work on being a better ally. Although I appreciated his apology and stating he would do better, it unsettles me because while many people claim to be allies and fight for the cause, this fun activity has zero acknowledgement for how problematic removing color for real people can be. He was pretty shook at my calling him out, so I'd say that it was a win on my part. So my question to you would be, what are your thoughts on white artists who claim to be allies or not racist but remove darker skin color from creations of real people? Is it just being a fun project a good enough excuse to not be held accountable? I don't care if Lego people are traditionally yellow. If you're making a Lego or any work of art of a real person, I believe skin color is important. I wouldn't want to make a lighter version just as any white or white passing person would then end up grabbing a pitchfork if they were made darker. Love you both, Juliet.
Juliet.
All right. What do you think, Babs?
I unfriend him and move forward. Like, que flojera, man. Yes, obviously. Like, if this is the thing. Like, that's what happens a lot. The representation of bodies in any medium takes responsibility, you know. It should just be about representing this or that, and people seem to forget that. That's why a lot of white people do fucking abstract art, because they just, you know, like it takes knowledge of a lot of fucking things. I'm glad you call him out. It was a scapegoat to give you a private message as opposed to a public message referencing himself as a fucking feminist and advocates for diversity. Again, as we mentioned in the last episode, when you have to announce it, it's probably a fucking lie. So Is it worth to keep calling him out? I don't think so. Is he profiting, making a lot of money off of this shit? I don't know. And I'm not really interested. But I think it is important. It is important to have this sort of representation, obviously, when it comes to all kinds of different people of color. So thank you for calling him out. Is it worth your time continuing to do this shit? I don't think so. What do you think?
I mean, if you have the time, do it.
Yeah.
You made that guy think. So, like, okay, if you have the time, of course, do it. You know, now that I'm on social media a little bit more because I'm trying to, like, be a little bit more active when it comes to, like, advocating for different causes. And, you know, on your Instagram, like, For You page, it, like, suggests things that you would like. This shit is also, like, reading me to filth. Like, it's just, like, drag... it's just, like, drag queens and, like... bear, like gay bear sites, like gay bear accounts. I'm like, okay, you know what I like? Drag queens and bears. Cool. Thanks so much. and so many of these fucking bear accounts, they're just white dudes with beards. Like, and they find these images on the internet all over the place. So I started just being like, hey, on the comments, like, hey, you've had this account for 4 years and you've never posted a black person. I'm pretty sure there's black people that have beards that can be on this site. Like, I don't understand what's happening. And of course, they never respond, you know, because the racism within the queer, within the gay community, that's huge. And people like to ignore that shit.
And people forget that, like, a lot of these accounts are cis dudes. Just, like, they're dudes, man. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
If your pride parade is not intersectional, if it doesn't include trans women, if it doesn't include black people, if it doesn't include non-binary people, it's not a fucking pride parade, okay? Shania Twain did not throw the first brick at Stonewall so that we could be having white pride parades, okay? So, listen. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But as far as this Lego thing, at first I was like, you know what? This might be a little bit of an overreaction. It's yellow Lego people. But if you think about it, well, the thing that got me about this is, like, he has painted white skin tones on other characters before. So he is aware of skin tone. And kind of like The Simpsons, you know, like, yeah, they're yellow, but they're white, you know? Like, that's why, you know, the black cop on The Simpsons is brown. He's not a yellow person. Like, they distinguish that. Not saying that The Simpsons is great, because The Simpsons is really fucked up on so many levels.
Yeah.
Even The Simpsons knew, like, oh yeah, we have to acknowledge that these are people of color, you know? And so I do understand that.
You know what it sounds to me like?
Yeah.
Like a fucking lazy artist. That's all it is.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
And of course, if you're white and you never think about skin tone, because since you were a kid, you've had a crayon on the crayon box that represented your skin tone and what everybody thought a skin tone was, because Band-Aids were always made in your skin tone, because nude illusion tights were always made in your skin tone, because, you know,
makeup. When
you
did
your makeup, you know, like, of course, you're not going to think of that. So, you know what? Juliet, you disrupted this guy's thought, and next time he decides to render a black Lego person, he's gonna fucking think about it, and that's great, you know? And so, shout out to Lego, but I'm sure they probably use, like, child labor. But anyway, shout out to Lego. I don't know, Legos are so expensive. I bet they are made, like, humanely, because they're fucking expensive, bro. But have you ever bought Legos before?
Nope. I've been...
Oh my God, just like a little thing is like...
Todos mis primitos hacían unas cosas tan chingonas y a mí ni una pinche pastel me salía, dude. Like, I never.
Oh, yeah. You're not good at
that. I'm not good at that at all. Es bien triste, dude.
Oh, I used to love Legos, but they're so fucking expensive. I could only play with them at my cousin's house. But Lego took every single item that they had that had law enforcement in it. They took it off of their shelves.
Yeah. Yes, that's cool.
They're no longer glorifying the police, which most of our media does over and over and over again.
¿Y sabes qué también, güey? El show Cops. I didn't know that shit was still around. Like, I can't believe that show was still around when somebody's like, yeah, it's canceled. I was like, what the fuck?
Girl, there's a show now called Live PD where it's like live. It's like Cops Live.
Oh my God.
They've, they've taken it up a notch.
It's como, oh my god, one time,
girl,
shout out to Gustavo in Honduras. She said, like, he's like, el periodismo es tan amarillista. Like, one time I saw the show live, and like, there was somebody shot in the floor. Y el periodista goes to this person in the floor and goes like, ¿le duele? ¿Cómo se siente? ¿Cómo está? ¿Le duele? Like, that kind of amarillismo, man. And the thing is that está disfrazado de amarillismo because that's what attracts people or whatever, but it's like, it's based on such an... Amarillismo es como... Ay, no sé cómo... It's like a type of journalism that is just like... Just to amplify, you know, spectacle. I don't know, like, it's just like... I don't know. Mm. Google it. Like, amarillismo is just like bad periodismo. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And, but it, the basis of all of that and the people that are affected, of course, it's so fucking oppressive. But a live fucking cop show, that's so fucking crazy.
Yes. They have a live cop show. And I've been, I just saw this TikTok recently of this person who, because, you know, when they're doing these protests, like, the cops kind of stake out and find a place, like, in a dark parking lot or, like, behind a school.
Yeah.
And this girl, she saw the cops kind of, like, getting ready to, like, surround the protesters. And she got a speaker from her house and, like, put it on the roof of her house pointing at the cops because she could see them. And she played What You Gonna Do? Like, the Bad Boys, Bad Boys. She, like, played it so loud at the cops and they were all shook, like, oh, shit, somebody can see us. And they, like, look up towards the music and she just waves at them.
Oh.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys, What You Gonna Do? And just started playing the song for cops.
That's brilliant.
So great.
But can you please... tell everybody the name of that TikTok you sent me, like, calling out the fucking people in Congress kneeling down.
Girl, I don't know the name. You know, TikTok is so hard to find anything. I downloaded it, so I'll put the link in the show notes for the TikTok. Okay.
Okay.
You want to read the next one?
Okay, this is Yesenia. Boston show. Hi, Fabi and Babelito. My name is Yesenia, and I recently went to the live recording of Latinos Who Lunch at BU. It was super dope to see you, Fabi, and I appreciate getting to chat with you and Maite a bit after the show. I'm going to see Provecho tomorrow and excited to see your pieces at Mass Mocha later this month. I had a question that was actually sparked by the Q&A portion of the live recording. The last two questions, if I remember correctly, came from, and I'm fully assuming here, two white passing Spanish teachers asking for resources to use in their classes. It's two people who often discuss being in these sorts of spaces, panels, presentations, etc. What are your thoughts, reactions when you get this sort of resources-based questions from white passing folks? And maybe even more specifically, I'm thinking what is often the case of white educators working with students of color. I would love to hear you all's thoughts. Much love, Yesenia.
Thanks, Yesenia. Yeah, that's a great question. Because it always is uncomfortable for me when people do that to me. Like,
and then publicly.
And then publicly. So they're like, what are the resources that you recommend? Like, I'm not a Spanish teacher, girl. I do a podcast about, like, reading listener letters and about my experience as an artist. You know, like, why would I know about Spanish? I don't know. But a lot of times, this actually is kind of related to the last email, is, like, people of color, you know, they, when they're on a panel or when we are hosting something, we are just seen as the expert of everything relating to
race,
Latinidad, to the Spanish language. When like, if that was a white podcast up there with white people, they would have been like, can you tell us, can you give us the best resources on teaching English? Like, what is this? This ain't
on growing white this asparagus. Isn't,
can you give us the best, can you give us the best resources to making a casserole with four ingredients? Oh my god. So, like, it's kind of frustrating, but at the same time, you know, we do have this podcast, and I understand that we're, like, a little bit more aware when it comes to like certain things in academia. So maybe for you that would have been an appropriate question, but for me, like, it's obvious that these people maybe didn't listen to the show. So I don't even remember what my response was. I was just like, Google it, loca, why are you asking me, you know? There's like the double standard, right? Like, you would never ask a white person to represent everything that whiteness is, or like, or that, or you know, like, to represent a whole country, or to represent a whole region of the world, right? Like, that's upsetting. But that often happens. The next time I get a question like that, this is what I'm going to answer. Like, it's a really unfair question to ask me. And, you know, and that's okay. You can answer like that.
And it's, and I think it's both. I think it's that. I think it's the fact that the live show, it's not the only place where those type of questions have been asked to us, but also taking the responsibility that, yes, we have this show and we are offering a live platform. Pues te chingaste, güey, you know? So I think it's a little bit, I think it's a little bit of both, of keep making them aware that this type of questions, that we're not the experts of, you know, of the world when it comes to some of those things. But at the same time, it's like, but also I appreciate you here. So this is what I can offer you. And I think with that, you will make those people aware of the problem. Yeah. And maybe next time they think about it twice and they pose their question in a different way, you know, which, because it is valid. It's a valid question. Annoying as fuck, but it is valid.
Yeah. And if you want to ask a question just to hear yourself talk, or like to, I also, a lot of times people ask questions just to affirm to the room that they're not racist, or they're like a cool white person. If you feel the need to do that, the question you should be asking is, hello, hi, my name is Susan. What is your Venmo account? What is your Cash App account? Thank you so much. And that's it. That should be the question you're asking. Send me fucking money for my labor, bitch. That's what, that's the question. If you don't know what, if you want to ask a question just to hear yourself talk and seem like an ally, next time I do a talk, ask me what my Venmo account is. That would be a wonderful question. And I'll announce it to the room and everybody can send me money right away. Okay. Well, next question.
Go do for it.
Oh yeah, my turn, right? Mm-hmm. From, is it Monique's? Is that how you would say that?
Yes.
Okay. And the subject is Madrine. Okay. Hola. I've been listening for a while and I'm happy to finally be able to support you on Patreon. Hopefully I can keep doing it since I've gotten some extra work lately. I learned so much from you too. And also you turned me on to some great other podcasts. Because of you, I'm a Fokker now, friend of Korean with the Ajumma show. They did like a live comedy show a couple weeks ago. It was really fun. Nice. Okay. Anyway, just want to give you some love and also ask that when you shout out the madrinas next, can you please call me a madrine? I'm non-binary and use gender neutral whenever possible. Spanish is fucking hard for that, but hopefully the E ending will catch on. I need to practice that myself, but I don't actually have anyone to speak Spanish with other than my family on the phone. I pretty much only get my Spanish on via podcast, and it's not caught on much yet. A little background. I grew up in Puerto Rico and haven't spoken Spanish regularly in so long. I moved to the US in 1996. So I don't use the E ending conversationally for myself because I already struggle to hold on to the language. And being a trans person is hard enough in English when you have to adjust words that you're used to spitting out. Mm-hmm. So rewiring my brain in Spanish for the E for myself feels like too much of a burden. I'm already self-conscious about how much I've slipped in my Spanish over the years, and that feels like an extra hurdle to put on myself. But of course, I will do my best, do it for others, and I would love it if it becomes so much more common than I'm getting to hear the E on podcasts. That's my way I consume Spanish. And if it reaches that point where I feel confident, comfortable, I'll go all in with the Eye. But in light of that, or like instead of él or ella, right? Mm. But in light of where we are culturally, I have chosen él for myself in Spanish because that's less rewiring of my brain and more accessible / understandable for others outside of the queer community. Plus, I am so much more él than ella, so I'm okay with the compromise. If you want me to explain anything further or have any more questions, I would be delighted to get into it more. Gracias y cuídense, Monix. They, them, él.
All right. Awesome. This is great. This is good. And I'm glad that we're... Should we change the whole entire thing to madrine?
I mean, we can say madrine, madrina, madrino. We can include everybody.
Right.
Fuck it, yeah. This is great. Let's be more inclusive. I completely agree. We did the categories all, ¿cómo se dice? Feminine?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's the right terminology for that?
Yeah, it's feminine. Yeah.
Like, so it's amiga, comadre, and madrina. Because this is a queer podcast and we're always calling each other girl. So, you know, it's about us.
Right.
But obviously, you're part of the LWL fam now. And if you want to be called a madrine, fuck yeah, we'll call you a madrine. Yes. That's awesome.
No problem.
And so, and honestly, Latinx is really hot and, you know, it looks cool when you write it on a cover of a book or whatever. But the term Latine instead of Latino or Latina is much easier to say conversationally in Spanish. So, and I've actually already seen it being used, of course, in academia, but in Spanish podcasts. The one that you recommended a while ago, Babelito, with the trans woman,
mm-hmm.
they use like Latine instead of Latinx.
Latinx, you know?
So there's already people that are using it out there. So we'll do our best to try to use that. And of course, when we shout you out, Monix, we're going to say madrine.
And they're right. Like, Spanish is all about gender. Like, everything is gender, desde la almohada hasta el sofá. Can you tell I'm in my living room recording? So it is really...
Very creative.
And it's really complicated. And some people may say, oh, like... It's almost like impossible to change the language. We should concentrate on other struggles, but we have to start somewhere. And I think if we start, if you get to interrupt somebody's day by making them rethink some of these ideas, you know, like that's already a big fight. So I think it is important to start. And thank you for letting us know. And we'll definitely do that.
And there's a lot of like tiptoeing around this within the community, even within our friends. I recently had a friend come out as non-binary, and you know, I'm used to calling them he, and so it's taken some time for me to start rewiring my brain, and I still accidentally do it, you know. But same. I had a conversation with them recently, and they were like, just the fact that you're trying, it's very affirming. And the fact that you're trying to affirm my gender identity, and I can see you trying it, it doesn't offend me when you accidentally call me he, because I'm slowly transitioning out of that. And
right.
I know that some of my family members may never call me that. So I cannot... They said this to me, like, if I let that fester, like, that's not good for me. So they said, like, I really have to understand that. This is a process. And also, you know, since my gender identity, you know, I understand it a little better now. That's still part of my past. So, you know, it's okay to embrace that. So there's many levels to this, but I just want to say, like, if you fuck up somebody's gender identity, just the fact that you're a lot of people, the fact that you're trying, that's really great.
Right.
2 years down the line, if you're still doing it, that's on you, boo. Like, come on. Get your shit together. It doesn't take that long. You know, like, if you try for a year, like, it'll stick, you know? That's what you got to do. You just got to keep trying.
Awesome. Okay, next letter is from Angelica. Hola, Fabi, Fabi, Babelito. I've been thinking a lot of one piece that stuck out to me in episode 146. When Babelito was talking about his academic work and how he feels he has made it. Oh my God, how times have changed so fast.
Now, how do you feel now?
Okay.
Holding on by a thread.
I felt that deeply. I have worked so hard for the past 8 years in my own research work. I started working, knowing anything about my topic. It wasn't until I was deeply inside the world I was documented that it hit me how much I was learning and have been given access to. I had to go over a lot of hurdles, and while they didn't deter me, rather feel my passion to continue documenting this cultural production, it wasn't until I began speaking at conferences that I realized I knew my shit. Good for you. Yet, when Mabelito spoke about imposter syndrome and being in the room and recognizing you are the expert, I thought about how hard that is for me when I have entered spaces that are mostly male. I might not be deeply tied to Mexico or have the same experiences that others have, but I am the expert in the room, which is why when he said, quote, I might not know it all and that's okay, end of quote, I finally realized that that is okay. I can be an expert and still not know everything. Lastly, going back to episode 147's Reader's Letters, when you all talked about the song and whether or not it had been plagiarized, it reminded me of December when a student in Cal State decided to take my whole thesis and use it for his own. While I am home being quarantined, I am working on my third book. Wow. And I thought of how fucked up it is when we still have this gaslighting machista assholes in Chicano spaces who still run over other folks. I have not overcome that yet. So I hope you both can help me come to terms with this or give me advice of how to process it. Abrazos, Angelica. Hijo su madre. Ay, ay, ay. Thank you so much for that. Things have changed, as we mentioned in the last episode. Everything that is happening right now, it's really making show institutions their true colors. So I went from multiple offers to maybe an employee. But that's okay. That's okay. I still am very privileged. I can possibly collect unemployment and work on my book. I'm all right. Mm-hmm. But it did take me a long time to be able to say I'm the expert on the subject in the room, even though in some conferences you are speaking to the experts, and that's when the imposter syndrome kicks in. As I mentioned before, it's not going to go away. And a lot of those people that you think they're going to call you out, they're afraid of you calling them out. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it goes back and forth. We always comment on how fucking secure white people always come off as, you know, like, oh, like they know everything. Everybody's insecure. Like, we're all checking on each other. You know, this whole COVID thing has made me realize how much more aware we are of each other. When you go to the store, like, you are so aware of who's next to you. And it wasn't like that anymore. But it really is a metaphor of how we live our lives. We always think we're being watched. We always think that when we walk in on the street, we've been looked at, and vice versa. And, you know, like, we're all worrying about that. And at the same time, we're so into our own shit that we don't give a fuck. So and it takes time. I think it's practice. The more and more and more and more you do it. I remember the first time I presented in a conference, I cut my hair, me puse un traje. I practiced till like 3 a.m. and my presentation was like at 8 a.m. I was fucking shaking. And now I throw a joke here and there, like but it's one of those things. It's just like with everything. After practicing something for several years, it's okay. And being wrong, it's also part of being an expert. You know, like the idea is that when it comes to these platforms, you're offering a dialogue. You're not going to answer everything, and that's one of the biggest lessons from grad school: learning how to ask the right questions. So I've written entire papers around the idea of posing a good question that hopefully will spark, some dialogue. Also, in academia, people are going to steal your shit, so you have to be very careful. It's happened to me, man. It happened to me in grad school. Like, it just happens. So you have to be very...
Shout out.
Stupid, you have to erase
I'll
that.
I'll bleep it out.
You have to be very aware of what you put out in the world and know that, just like with art, once you put it out there, it's not yours anymore. So that's why I'm mentioning this idea of good questions, because if you set up a book, a conference, an essay that you think you put a good enough question that is going to start something, like a spark a conversation, chances are that people may quote you, may use your scholarship for their own, and also not give you credit. But that's why you need to know if it's good enough. If I put articles and I put my book on Native Resistance and I end up starting a conversation where a lot of people start talking and writing about Native Resistance without quoting me or without giving me credit, that's fine. Because I want people to be aware of this shit. So to me, that doesn't matter, you know? So it depends on what you're doing and what you're working on. So next time when you're working your third book, man, I cannot even get my fucking book proposal together. Now that you're working on that, think about the questions that you're posing, the type of conversations and dialogues you're sparking, and hopefully if that gets out of control to the point that somebody's taking your work, it wouldn't be so much of a burden on you and your legacy and your work and the work of your family, because everything that you do, it's you, your family, and your friends, because everybody's putting energy into this. And lastly... Oh. I will go and listen to our episode with Annette Rodriguez, Google her, read all of her shit, and I think she has her stuff in academia.edu, because she calls out all of this Chicano machistas with her scholarship in a beautiful way. She talks about how Chicano history always ignores women. So for example, all in with her work, there's all this history of all these Mexicanos being lynched, and we concentrate on that hero, Chicano male glorified hero that was killed. But what about all the women that survived them, that fight for justice for them? You know what I mean? The same thing with a lot of things that are happening right now. Like, we need to go back and listen to Black women and all the work that have been doing, because they are also victims. Just because you're not killed doesn't mean you're not a fucking victim. And that's so common in Chicano academia. It's disgusting. So I totally, totally, totally hear you. Buena vibras to you. And thank you so much for that letter, Angelica.
Yeah. And on that note, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, that have been awakened by what's happened with the loss of Black lives in current times, you know, with the beginning with the murder of George Floyd. But remember, this has been happening for hundreds of years. There's been people in this country that have been fighting for civil rights for hundreds of years. So I hear a lot of podcasters talking like, oh, now more than ever, like now it's really, no, people have been doing this. Just because you're paying attention now, I just feel like it's discrediting a lot of the work that specifically Black women have been doing for hundreds of years, okay? So This ain't nothing new, baby. This is nothing new. It's just amplified right now because we all have cameras and we can see.
Exactly, okay? Exactly.
Okay, a couple things. The experts that I respect the most are... the experts that I go to, that I listen to in podcasts, that I have appreciated when I see a presentation, it's people that stand there as the expert, but also they're not defensive when they are critiqued or asked a question that they don't know or that they don't have all the information on. I've seen it time and time again. People get really upset. A lot of quote unquote academic experts, or not even academic, just like, I've seen this in the arts, I've seen this in music, you know, when you question their epistemology or like their theories on, you know, what's right, what's wrong or whatever, they get really upset about it because a lot of people only think within one box of it. So being an expert, but also being open to criticism is like really important.
You need to learn how to fucking listen, man.
Boom. You have to know how to listen. And so as long as you go into a presentation knowing that, you're less defensive and more open to this. And it also, when people see you taking that in and really listening and saying, wow, well, I don't know. I have to do a little bit more research on this, but this is what I know. That shows you that there's way more to learn. You know what I mean? But yep. A lot of people like to stand on pedestals and be admired, you know? But, you know, if we want to look at statues, we can just go to the Met, you know? All right. So I think we have time
for one more.
Let's see. Yeah, we have time for one more. Gamble and Pee, teacher podcast / listener question. Hi, Bavelito y Fav y Fav. We are two brown women who recently started a podcast called Brown Noise. Oh my God. I literally have a logo made because I was going to start a new podcast called Brown Noise. But you took my fucking name. It's okay. It's okay. Thank you for having that podcast in which we now I have to be more creative with my name. So it's fine. Okay. In which we discuss.
Ruido café. Café ruido.
Ay, Dios mío. In which we discuss our experiences as educators. I'm so excited to listen to this podcast. Thank you for letting us know. We have enjoyed LWL for years and decided to finally start our own podcast during this shelter in place. We're planning an episode in which friends and family shout out their favorite teachers, and we're curious, who was your favorite teacher and why? Thanks, Gamble and Pete. That's how you do it, people. Do you see how they plug their own shit and then asked us a cool question?
In less than a paragraph.
In like three sentences. They didn't give us their life story. Thank you so much. I'm definitely subscribing, girl. Okay.
Same, same.
So, okay, Babelito, who was your favorite teacher and why?
Pero teacher as in like high school and stuff.
It doesn't say when. I'm thinking younger, right? I'm thinking because she would say professor, right? Or instructor.
Right. I don't know. Sorry. Like, I really feel like the most impact I had was later in college. And for that reason, Kirsten Pye Buick.
Yeah.
It's it. And even her book is part of my list on the website of books to read, which is Child of the Fire, The Art of Edmonia Lewis. She changed my life, period. Like, it's not that she taught me American art. It's not that she taught me about race and gender. She simply, with her teaching, changed my life. And I channel her every time I teach. I always think about her. I always think about what she will think. I don't take a step when it comes to anything academic and even big decisions in life because she's become mi favorite tía, you know? She definitely is. So again, Kirsten Pye Buick from the University of New Mexico. And I can tell you about maybe 100 people that she changed their lives as well. So she is everything when it comes to that. Also, shout out to Professor Perez, Dr. Perez in UNLV. The simple fact that he was a Chicano professor talking about Chicano stuff, what? I've never seen that before. So his class completely changed the way that I think about academia. So I think those are two educators, but I don't know if she's looking for like high school or elementary school. And of course my sister, because you know, she's my sister.
Yeah. I think when I was in elementary school, the first teacher to really make a difference was my fourth grade teacher. And her name was Mrs. Ledford. And I think she was Mormon, because she had all these kids too. But she was so kind, and she could tell that I was frustrated because I didn't really. So this is the thing that happens, which is really fucked up, especially the Clark County School District here in Las Vegas, is like, because I was bilingual, even though English wasn't my first language back then, you know, like, or back then ever, but I was still bilingual and like understood both languages. So they would always put me with the kid, like they would always sit me in the middle of all the kids that couldn't speak English so that I could translate for them. So yeah. It's so fucked up. Like I should have been getting paid to go to school.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And she recognized that because I had so much trauma just from third, second, and first grade that I automatically went and sat with the Spanish speaking kids to translate without even having to be prompted to do that.
Hijo su madre.
Because I just had already known that that's your job. And I'll never forget that she said, Justin, can you stay after class? And I thought I was doing something wrong. Because that's always what I think I'm doing. And she said, you know, I really appreciate you helping out Marco or whatever the kid's name was. And I was like, but I can tell your grades are suffering because you're helping him and you're really smart. And that's not your job. You don't have to do that. And I was just like shocked that she said that. And I said, yeah, but I want to help. He doesn't understand. She's like, okay, that's really nice of you, but like, I'm going to work hard on getting him help after school or like, and so she put him in another program, like to go help learn English, you know?
Yeah.
So like I would have a break for a couple hours a day, you know? And after she did that, she made me student of the month. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Right. And so I had never been recognized before. And I think literally after that, I just always try to do just somebody acknowledging your presence. Can
right.
you believe?
Yeah.
Can you believe?
Especially as a kid, man.
Just somebody acknowledging your labor. I didn't know what that was till like recently, but just somebody acknowledging that changed my life, you know? So maybe remember last week when somebody's like, when did you get woke? Maybe that was my moment, you know, because honestly, because then I remember my fifth grade teacher was a piece of shit, and he was like fat phobic and racist. This old man, Mr. Berman, I'm gonna call you out. He's probably long gone now, his evil ass, but he sucked. He would make fun of this autistic kid all the time, and I would get really upset
what?
About it in our class. Yeah, he was bad, and like he would tell me to lose weight all the time.
Que lo corran, que lo corran.
Yeah, so then one day I was just like, I wrote a letter to him and placed it on his desk telling him that he needs to apologize to this kid and he needs to stop talking about me or else I'm going to go to the principal. And I did that because I was able to go talk to Mrs. Ledford about it. And again, this is even in elementary school. This is like base level academia. Mrs. Ledford couldn't go talk to the principal because the principal was friends with Mr. Berman and she didn't want to get punished for being a whistleblower.
So
I wrote that letter, and then ever since that day, he stopped making fun of us, of all the kids, all the people of color in the class. And it just was very, very empowering, you know? So I'll never, ever forget all of that. And I don't think I've ever talked about this
out
loud.
You haven't. I never heard this story before.
Because it's very... For a kid to go through that,
yeah.
Like white kids have no idea. White kids have no idea what kids of color have to go through. They have no idea, you know? And so, yeah. Wow, what a great question.
That's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're done, right?
No, let's do one more. It's a chiquita.
Okay, let's do one more.
Hijo su madre, we're in a roll. Okay.
Dale.
This is from Mari Besnask. Best snacks. What up, friends? Thank you for your podcast. I have so much fun listening to you both. Corazoncito emoji. Questions. I always enjoy your comida talk, and now that I'm home all day and eating and eating chorrocientos de snacks, I would like to know what your go-to snacks are, besides that burnt bologna thing in that Babelito likes. Come on! Thank you in advance, y muchos abrazos, Mari, Academic Mami. Hey, Academic Mami, I haven't heard from you in a long time because I'm not on Instagram. I love you. God damn it, pues ya me la mató. We just had a break from recording, and I had a tortilla con bologna. So what is yours?
Did you really? Girl, you fucking grossed me the fuck out. On your break, you ate a tortilla with bologna?
Tengo hambre, güey. Necesito fuel para
Bro,
seguir hablando de estas
bologna. Cosas. Why are you still eating bologna? You're a grown-ass person.
Me gusta, pero me asusta.
You love it. You don't give a fuck about your kidneys, bitch. You're fine.
I mean,
okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
One snack that I do, I've been eating a lot, okay. Son una manzana verde. Before I do my workout every day, I have a manzana verde. So tortilla con bologna and manzana verde pretty much every fucking day. That's it. Like, it's very simple.
Yeah, I do. I like to eat a Gala apple every day. An apple a day, right? Keeps the doctor away, because, you know, I'm Latino, I ain't going to the doctor. And so that was a joke, but not really. But let's see, what else? I always have, my shit is boring. I always have almonds on deck. I love me an almond.
That is boring, yeah.
I know, I love almonds, and I love just like peanut butter with stuff. Peanut butter is my favorite. So like peanut butter with apples, peanut butter with almonds. You could put peanut butter on Cheez-Its. You could put...
okay, Forrest Gump.
Everything. Is that a Forrest Gump thing?
No, when he starts eating all the different types of fucking camarón.
Oh, okay. That was a reach, but cool. Thank you. Thanks for that. Okay. That movie also, what a fucking weird movie. Now that you watch it later, like, what is happening? Okay.
But, oh my God.
I love a crunch. So anything, I always have crunchy stuff. So like chips, celery. I love celery. My shit is so boring.
It is, man.
Those are my favorite, by the way. It's just, you got to get the crunchy celery with peanut butter. So bomb. Mm-mm. So good. Okay. Yeah, I mean, my snacks are fucking boring, but those are my go-to, for real.
Yeah, those are my go-to, too. But I think part of the reason why I don't snack a lot is because, which I need to stop, I'm drinking coffee all day long, especially if I'm writing. Right now, we're in the process of just, like, waking up, having coffee, read, write, or try to write for like 6 to 8 hours a day, finishing, going for a walk or exercise, and then dinner and go to bed. Like, it's the same every single day. And because we make these big ass meals, when I want a snack, I'll just get a leftover. So I'm always eating like rice, because I like rice como salga, güey, como salga. I have risotto in the fridge, fried rice, Mexican rice, and white rice. I have four types of fucking rice in my fridge. So that I'm always like, agarro un platito con rice, you know, and I like, just heat it up and I put cottage cheese. Oh, so that's another one. If si hay taquis,
okay,
mejor.
Okay, thank you for your letter, Mari. We really appreciate you. Thank you for all the resources you're putting out right now to talk to your family in Spanish about what's going on. Really appreciate you. Yeah, okay. Let's take a break, and then we'll be right back with Rex.
Y este danzón y shout-out va dedicado para los muchachos más bonitos y más bonitas del barrio. Du, 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 du.
You don't have to do the music because I'm going to have it in the background, bro. The fuck? Oh, my God. Thank you all for coming to my quinceañera. And I just want to give a huge, huge shout-out to all of my madrinas. Starting with Alejandra A, Alex V, Alexandra N, Ali N, Alonso R, Ana, Ana H, Andrea H, Andrea Q, Annette R, Araceli L, Ariane P, Ayla R, Bianca G.
Also, Karina R, Casey P, Chris E, Christian,
Daisy M, Daisy V, Daisy Z, Dana G, David E, Dionis O, Dora P,
Eduardo V, Emily W, Erika M, Esteban C,
Gabriela S,
Hazani B, Hilary N,
and Indira H, E, Itzel S,
Jake N, Janet G, Jennifer H, Jesse R, Jesse S, Jessica A, Joe M, Jocelyn C, Judith G, Julia M,
Laura T, Leah, Lola's Cocina, Luis R, Luna M,
Maria G, Maria R, Miguel C, Miranda S, Monica M, and tu madrine, Monix J.
Nancy M, Natalia O, Nicole Y,
Paula B, Rafael T, Raquel S, Renato N, Roberto R, Ros Aura,
Sara S, Stephanie B, Tyler, Vanessa L, Vanessa T, y Yesenia S. Muchísimas gracias, madrinas. I really appreciate you. Without you, I wouldn't be the woman I am today. So thank you for coming to my quinceañera. DJ, any words?
Y ahora que pase el mariachi.
No, I'm not going to put that in. Okay.
Okay.
Let's finish this fucking episode. Thank you. Thank you to all our Patreon family. We really appreciate you. As you heard, the list is incredible. We didn't expect so many people to help us, and it's really heartwarming. So again, thank you for coming to my quince.
Muchísimas gracias a todos. We love you, madrines and madrinas.
And we're back. Okay, do you have any quick recommendations, Babs?
Yes. This episode, I want to shout out this band that is coming. It's up and coming. I don't think they have done a lot of noise there, but I have a feeling they're gonna be everywhere. This is, speaking of our theme from last week, this is a band called Reina Tropical. But again, this is a band that is looking into Afro-Latino sounds, mixing them with some cool beats and electronic music, and they don't appropriate entire fantasies about Latin America.
Are they Afro Latino?
I am not sure. I tried to look it up, and I think one of them, it is Afro Latino. And they do all kinds of really cool music. So I am going to give them the benefit. I'm going to give me the benefit of the doubt. They have.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's worked in the past. Cool.
Right. So they have one. They have one new single. It's called Dolor. This just came out a couple of weeks ago. Last year, they had their first EP, Sol y Lluvia. Beautiful music, smooth as fuck. This is a duo from the States. So one lives in LA, and I forget where the other ones. They actually do long distance, and they still are able to come out with really cool music. Again, the name of the band is Reina Tropical. The single is Dolor. Check them out. I have a feeling that their LP is near us. So yeah, Google loca.
Oh my god, 5 years later still. Jesus Christ. See, payase. Some people never learn. Thank you. Finally. I feel seen. I want to recommend a podcast. It's called Así Como Se Suena, I think. I think that's what it's called. Yeah. Así Como Suena. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
And so I'll put the link in there. There's this episode on racism in Mexico, El Racismo Mexicano. Really great. It's a really great Spanish podcast. And so I've been listening to that recently. Yeah, that's one of my recommendations. So definitely check that out. Anything else, Babs?
That's it.
All right. As always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. You can rate us 5 stars
Cinco estrellas.
Apple Podcasts.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And we're almost at 1,000 reviews. So please review us there, because the more reviews, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're hearing now is by the band Balloon.
Angelico!
I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Bye!
Ciao.
What the hell?